Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Dan Rocker, pastor of the Wyoming and Bowers Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
It's our privilege now to bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. In your mercy, please break through our hearts and minds. Speaker and hearer, hearers, we might be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I didn't have scripture reading today. The scripture is Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. We're continuing in that series. Why did Jesus give us this petition? The fourth of the seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Why did he give us this petition? Because God loves to hear our prayers. Obviously, he didn't give us this petition because he knew that God would not hear our prayer. He gave us this petition because he knew that God loved to hear our prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Just think about it. This is Jesus who gave us this petition. He knows the Father. He knew the Father even then. He knew the Father loved to hear our prayer. So he said, every day, ask him for what you need. And it's very difficult to separate the temporal bread from the spiritual bread. And there's a blending there. They are related. They both give us life. We can't live without either one of them. And we'll see that blending a little bit as we go forward. Zwingli, the German pastor who preached a series on the Lord's Prayer while bombs were falling back in the Second World War, made this comment here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. He said the Lord's Prayer is really a total prayer. And its seven petitions are like the rainbow colors of the spectrum into which light divides when it is refracted in a prism. The whole light of life is captured in this rainbow of seven petitions. He went on to say, nobody can ever say that it sends him, I would say, or her away empty-handed, or that it does not take into account his need or her need. It can be spoken at the cradle and the grave. It can rise from the altars of great cathedrals and from the dark hovels of those who, quote, eat their bread with tears. It can be prayed at weddings and on the gallows. And the fact is that it has been prayed in all these places. All seven of the colors of our life are contained in it. And so never is there a time when we are left alone. The first half of the prayer of Jesus, I'll just remind you and review, has taught us in regard to the name, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom, thy kingdom come, and the will of God, your will be done. That his name may be honored, his kingdom established, his will performed. Now we move into this fourth petition. Give us our daily bread. Truly, when we have made God's service our first interest, his kingdom, his will, the glory of his name, we may ask with confidence that our own needs will be supplied. If we have renounced self and given ourselves to Jesus, we are a member of the family of God. Everything in the Father's house is for us. Every day we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You know, the Lord fed, you know, the 5,000, the loaves, fish multiplied in his hand. This happens every day. When you, out by my house, there's a lot of corn planted this year. Although right behind my house, it's beans. It's the Lord that gives life to those plants. It's the Lord. And the farmers will wish, soon, who sends the rain? It's a miracle. Every day, all day around the world, there is a harvest to feed the world. And human beings are called to take part in that work. You know, we hoe, we deal with the weeds, and so on. But because of that, we have a tendency to lose sight. Because the Lord is wonderful, providing, we have a tendency to lose sight. It's a miracle, just like the feeding of the 5,000. And so we pray with thanksgiving, Lord. I mean, we know we already got a refrigerator full and the cupboards are full. So thank you for providing us our daily bread. But we shouldn't be dismayed if we don't have sufficient for tomorrow. If you don't have sufficient for tomorrow, if we find out later you didn't call us and tell us, we're going to be mad at you. But be that as it may, we have the Word of God. Psalm 37:3. This was our scripture reading today. It was short, but it's, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and then this one right here, and feed on his faithfulness. You see, the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, is directly from God's faithfulness. He has faithfully provided for us. Same Psalm, verse 19. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Psalm 37:25, the well-known words, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. The God who sent the ravens to feed Elijah is still active today. He will not pass by. One is his faithful, self-sacrificing children on earth. Jesus, who lightened the cares and anxieties of his widowed mother and helped her to provide for the household at Nazareth, sympathizes with every mother in her struggle to provide her children food. Jesus, who had compassion on the multitude because they fainted and were scattered abroad, Matthew 9:36, still has compassion on the suffering poor. His hand is stretched out toward them in blessing. And in the very prayer he gave his disciples, he gave you and I, he teaches us to remember the poor. He doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I must say here, lest all these verses I've been reading would give us an unbalanced view, God lets his sunshine, his rain fall on the just and the unjust. Matthew 6:33 is special. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. He's a prayer-hearing God. Psalm 68, verse 10, back to the poor. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. And we love Luke 14. Jesus said, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, here comes 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6. Paul wrote, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Listen to this. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I'm going to read that verse 8 in the Phillips New Testament. After all, God can give you everything that you need so that you may always have sufficient both for yourselves and for giving away to other people. I've been reading some powerful verses here. I am not in any way holding myself up. I'm learning right here. I'm learning right now. Be clear on that. But what a beautiful promise from the Word of God. The means in our possession may not seem sufficient for the work. But if we will move, I'm reading from one of my favorite books, The Desire of Ages, but if we will move forward in faith, believing in the all-sufficient power of God, abundant resources will open before us. If the work be of God, he himself will provide the means for its accomplishment. He will reward honest, simple reliance upon him. The little that is wisely and economically used in the service of the Lord of heaven will increase in the very act of imparting. In the hand of Christ, a small supply of food remained undiminished until the famished multitude were satisfied. If we go to the source of our strength, with our hands of faith outstretched to receive, we shall be sustained in our work, even under the most forbidding circumstances, and shall be enabled to give to others the bread of life. Now that's on page 371. I've read this for years, and I can't say that I have experienced this. This is something beautiful and powerful right here. I've experienced it some, but I know God is calling me to higher ground. And so again, I do not stand before you as an example here today, but these are beautiful, precious truths. God wants us to have and to experience. As I said in the introduction, the prayer for daily bread includes not only bread or food to sustain the body, but that spiritual bread which will nourish our souls onto everlasting life. Jesus said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Jesus is the bread of life. It is by beholding his love, by receiving it into the soul, that we feed upon the bread which came down from heaven. dwelling upon his love, claiming his promises. Again, when we have truly made God's service our first interest, everything in the Father's house is for us. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Understand that verse? In Jesus. Every spiritual blessing for every possible spiritual need is ours. I have here somewhere in my wallet, I have right here, I have a library card to the Patmos Library out in Jamestown, Michigan. Not a very big library. But you know, this card right here gives me access to books all over the county in Ottawa County. Pretty much every book I want, rarely, do I not find a secular book with this card. With this card, every book is mine as I need it. I don't have it on my wall, but I also have a library card to the James White Library down in Berrien Springs, Michigan. And that card gives me access to every single book in that beautiful library. And I think you have a hard time finding a, let's say, bona fide theological book. You look it up, you'll find it in that card catalog. Almost every single time. And here I have a card at the Heckman Library, Calvin College. Same thing. I have access to every book. 10 at a time. 10 at a time. They figure that's all I need, right? I've been trying hard to return, but they're not taking returns for the past several months. So there I am. I got these books. Okay. Do you understand Ephesians 1 verse 3? In Jesus, every spiritual blessing that heaven has, which is to say every blessing that will ever be needed in the whole universe, is yours, is mine. We are children of God. Everything in the Father's house is ours. Paul wrote, "He who spared his own son, how shall he not also freely give us all things along with Jesus?" 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says there, the word of the inspired word of God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21, all things are yours. And it goes on in the next verse to list the world or life or death, things present, things to come, all are yours. All the treasures of God are open to us, both the world that now is and that which is to come. You thought you were poor. All the treasures of God. It goes on, it says, you are Christ's and Christ is God's. You belong to Jesus. Jesus is with the Father. The ministry of angels. The gift of his Spirit. The labors of his servants. All are for us. The world with everything in it is ours, so far as it can do us good. And from the wonderful book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, I'm reading this. Notice this. Even the enmity of the wicked will prove a blessing by disciplining you for heaven. So, we can live free, children of God. Even the machinations of the wicked, God will work for our eternal blessing. His eye is on the sparrow, and he's watching us. In his book, Tattoos on the Heart, Gregory Boyle, who happens to be a priest, tells of his work in Los Angeles, which is known as the gang capital of the world. The area that he works in has the highest concentration of gang activity in Los Angeles. He's been working there for 2.5 decades. They have an all-encompassing ministry that includes job training, providing jobs. He tells about boys like Fabian. Fabian's childhood was a dense mixture of gangster father, mentally ill mother, no one really in their right mind, always high all the time. When Fabian was 10 or so, his mother was beating him with her high heel when he sought refuge in the closet. She commenced to beat on Fabian's brother Michael, and when his brother's screaming stopped, he peeked out the closet and saw that his mother had wrapped a wire hanger around his neck, and he was turning blue. Fabian flew to her and body slammed and wrestled her to the ground. By the grace of God, this boy, I just gave you a quick snapshot of his life, but by the grace of God, this boy was able to put a life together. In fact, Boyle described him later by saying he is as decent a human being as I know. Having done wonderful work with gang members for over 2 decades, Boyle is often offered one award or another. When he receives these, whether it's a plaque or some piece of art or whatever, he was always in the habit of giving them to one of the gang members. Usually these awards were offered at some fancy dinner at some Beverly Hills hotel. They would give him a table, and he would fill it with young people from the projects, half men, half ladies. They would come dressed for the occasion. They would always discuss, why is there so many knives and forks and spoons? What is this one for? What is this one for? And this is largely a Hispanic area where he works. He said that they would always ask for hot sauce. Anyway. Well, once he had been invited to receive some award from the education department at Loyola Marymount University. As it happened, he had another appointment on that date. So he asked if he could send one of his workers to receive it on his behalf. Now, most of the workers, they have various industries. And virtually almost all the workers are ex-gang members. Well, the university agreed, and Boyle selected a boy named Elias to receive the award. Elias was 18 years old and worked in their silk screening business. He had traded in his gang past for fatherhood and gainful employment. Given the horror show that had been his family life, his environment, and the number of obstacles on his road along the way, his success was all the more astonishing. When asked, Elias was taken back by the honor. Yes, I'll do that. But when he was told he'd have to give a little acceptance speech, his wife, and he said, what? Boyle told him to relax. Write a couple paragraphs and he'd be fine. He also told him that Kara Gold, one of the mission senior staff at the time, and among what he described as the most skilled at working with gang members that Boyle had ever seen, would take Elias to the event. The trip to the awards evening was panic central. Elias was so nervous He wanted to leap from the moving car. He kept saying, Kara, I can't do it. I can't speak in front of these people. Once they got to the auditorium, things moved from bad to worse. The place was packed. Standing room only. Elias' forehead was dotted with sweat. Then the time came when the person in charge announced, accepting the award on behalf of Father Greg Boyle is Elias Montez. The crowd clapped warmly as Elias made his way to the podium, which was bathed in a spotlight. Elias trembled as he held the yellow lined paper on which he had written his speech. It wasn't much of a speech, really. Only the unmistakable testimony of those kids standing there. Transformed and astonishing to look at. The audience seems to get this on the first bounce. Elias got to the end with a big finish. Because, and this is what he said, because Father Greg and Homeboy Industries believed in me, I decided to believe in myself. The best way I can think of paying him back is by changing my life. And that's exactly what I decided to do. Thank you. The crowd erupted in applause. No, they went nuts. They were on their feet. People were crying, shouting. Folks were locating their Kleenex and would not stop clapping. Elias found his seat. Kara was standing next to him, crying a great deal. But so was the man on the other side of Elias. The ovation continued, and Elias was quite oblivious to it all. Finally, he leaned into Kara, who was still standing and applauding with the others, and he whispered, "They sure are clapping a lot. For G, Father Greg Boyle." Kara crouched toward him. "They're not clapping for G. They are clapping for you." Elias straightened up as if connected all of a sudden to a power plant. "Nuh-uh," he said. "Uh-huh," she said. "They're clapping for you." Dear brothers and sisters, God believes in us. Amen. The reception that this young man and those with him received there, the outpouring of love, is exactly heaven's attitude toward each and every one of us. And heaven has opened every good gift for us. Give us this day our daily blessing. Amen. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the truth of your word as it is in Jesus. May we feed upon Jesus. May our minds and hearts be lifted above the paradigms of this world. Forgive us for walking too much, too low. Help us to know who we are, sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Every spiritual blessing, everything that we need. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Dan Rocker, pastor of the Wyoming and Bauer Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Wyoming Church at 2580 44th Street Southwest in Wyoming, and their church service begins at 9:30 a.m. Or visit the Bauer Church located at 4881 Bauer Road in Hudsonville, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.